David coming for his honors from King Saul, God looked down and saw the king and other famous people, men of renown, honoring David because he had killed Goliath, wanted also to honor David. As I've said time and time again, as I've spoken on the little ring in the mic, fellas, turn me down just a bit, please. Be very sensitive now to that ring, if you would. Be helpful if you would. Now, there's still a ring in the mic, fellas. The heart of God wanted also to honor David. God reached down and he knitted or gave to Jonathan, the son of the king, a knitted heart to David. The Bible says their souls were, fellas, there's still a ring in the mic. I hate to have to come up there myself and turn it down, but I've got to have the ring out. The heart of Jonathan was knitted to the heart of David. God giving to David the greatest gift, apart from salvation, perhaps that God can give to a human being, and that is the gift of a friend. When Jonathan was knitted to David, he immediately gave to David five things. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, we'll not turn to it now, there are five things listed that were given by Jonathan to David with which to seal their friendship. The first thing that Jonathan gave to David was his robe. The robe symbolized the fact that of his own stature, his own importance, his rank, if you please. For you see, Jonathan was the heir apparent to the throne. Jonathan was the one, logically, to sit on the throne of Israel after the death of his father Saul. And so Jonathan, in reaching out and taking his robe off his body and giving it to David, Jonathan was saying to David, I give up my throne for you. I give up my rank for you. I give up my fame for you. I give up my standing for you. I give up my stature for you. You recall, don't you, that when the prodigal son returned home, the Bible says that the father said, bring a robe and put it on him. That means restore him to his former standing. When a Jewish boy became an adult, they had what they called a presentation of that boy at the bima, or the judgment seat. The father would take that boy before all the people, and standing at the judgment seat, the father would say, this is my son. Today, he inherits my wealth. Today, he inherits my social standing. Today, he becomes not a minor or a major. That's what the word adoption means in the Bible. The adoption, he becomes a major, no longer a minor. The father would give to that son what was called the toga praetexto, or the coat of majority. And now the boy, being a major, not a minor any longer, can wear the coat, signifying that he is now an adult and has been recognized as such by his father. And so when Jonathan said to David, here, David, take my robe, Jonathan was saying, take my stature, take my rank, take my throne, it's all yours. Jonathan gave his robe to David. But there's a second thing that Jonathan gave to David. The Bible says he gave him his garments. His garments. First, his robe. Secondly, his garments. Now, what does that mean? Jonathan was a warrior. We fail, I think, oftentimes to remember the tremendous military victories that Jonathan had won. Jonathan said, David, you have my robe. Now he said, take my garments. Take my military uniform. Take my insignia. Take my honors. Take my merit. Take the battles I've won. Take all the credit for all the battles I've won. Jonathan said, David, you're my friend. God has knitted my heart to you. Take my robe, take my throne. But more than that, he said, take my garments of war. Take my medals, take my honors. They're yours. I recall distinctly how they, back in World War II, in the last days of World War II, I was training for the paratroopers. I took several weeks of training, and then I got my wings, and I'll never forget the joy. Well, that captain said to us, he said, do you know what? He said, fellas, you are in such good shape. Well, you can look at me and tell that. But he said, you're in such good shape. He said, you can lick five average men on the street. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have not met five average men since then, but because I couldn't lick any of the fellows. But I, by the way, one paratrooper can lick any five Marines. I'll tell you that for sure, and I'll prove it after the service, if you'd like to come up after the service. But I'll not forget those wings. Boy, my chest grew about a foot out on this side over here. And Jonathan said, David, take my robe. I'll not be king. You can have my throne, have my crown. You can have my robe. But more than that, Jonathan said, you can also have my medals, my garments, my army outfit, my leadership, if you please. You can be general now in my place. But there's a third thing he said. He said also, take my sword. Take my sword. Now, what the average person does not realize is that this was a fabulous gift. Did you know that in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 22, we find there were only two swords in all Israel at that time? Only two swords. The Philistines had not allowed the Israelites to have smiths, blacksmiths if you please, and there were only two swords in all of Israel. One was owned by Saul, the other was owned by Jonathan. And Jonathan said, David, I am knitted to you. I am your friend. God has given me to you. Take my robe, my throne. Take my garments, my honor. Take my sword, my defense, if you please. My self-defense, one of the two swords in Israel. Take my sword, if you please. But there's something else. He said also, David, take my bow. Take my bow. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22, we find that Jonathan's bow was his prized possession. It was perhaps his most prized possession. He said, take my robe, my throne. Take my garments, my honor. Take my sword, my self-defense. Take my bow, my prized possession. Can you feature such gifts as that from one man to another? Jonathan said to David, take my bow. And you'll find, if you read the scripture, that Jonathan's bow was a very prized possession, perhaps his most prized possession on the face of the earth. And so here's David. David had defeated Goliath. David was the hero of the nation. He was the astronaut, if you please, being taken to the White House for honor. And Jonathan said, take my robe. Oh, my hopes for being king are yours. Take my garments. All the honors that I've made, they may now be owned by you, David. Take my sword. I'll have nothing which defend myself. You defend yourself with my sword. Take my bow. Take the most prized possession I own in this world. Take it. And then he said something else in the fifth place. He said, take my girdle. Take my girdle. I won't go into that. As I don't want to get up the girdle. I'm afraid the crowd in the auditorium would seat 200 less people if you did. But it's not what you're talking about and what we think of. But Jonathan said, take my girdle. Now, the girdle was the part that held, not Jonathan, but that held his sword. It held his bow. It held his garments. It was that little innermost part that held all the rest. So what Jonathan said is this, David, take my robe, you be king instead of me. Take my garments, you be the great military leader instead of me. Take my sword, you defend yourself, I'll not defend myself. Take my bow, take the most prized possession I have. Then he said to David, take it all, take it all. He said, take that that's the closest to me. Take that that's the nearest to me. Take that that's the dearest to me. Take it all. So did Jonathan, and so gave Jonathan to King David. Now listen carefully. Another David has risen, like unto King David. The Bible says that Jesus someday shall sit on the throne of David. The Bible speaks about Jesus as being the son of David. The Bible says that our Lord is the root and offspring of David. The Bible says our Lord is the seed of David. Now then, if Jonathan gave to that king David because he slew Goliath, if he gave him his robe, his throne, his garments, his honor, his sword, his self-defense, his bow, his most prized possession, his girdle, take it all. How much more should God's people in 1970 say to he, him, who will sit someday on David's throne, he who is the root and offspring of David, He who is the seed of David, he was called the son of David. How we ought to say this morning, if Jonathan of old could give that to David, we ought to come to Christ this morning and say, dear God, dear Christ, this morning, you, by the way, that David also has killed a giant. When he died on the cross and rose victoriously from the grave, he killed Goliath. He conquered death. He put down Satan. He destroyed the last enemy. He has killed a giant like David did. Not only that, he used a stone to do it too. He used a stone to do it. David took a stone and a slingshot, and our Lord took the stone and rolled the stone away and rose triumphantly as the King of Kings, the living Christ, ever to live and to sit at the right hand of the Father. But as Jonathan was honored at the right hand of the King, even so our Lord is honored today at the right hand of God the Father. Our folks have heard me tell this. A preacher one day preached on Jesus and being honored with the Father. When he got home, the little boy, his son said, Daddy, he said, isn't God wonderful? And the dad said, well, why, son? Well, he said this morning, you preached that God was did everything with his left hand. And the father couldn't understand it. Why, I didn't say any such thing? Oh, yes, you said God is left-handed. Said, God made the world with his left hand. God holds with his left hand. God keeps us with his left hand. And the father said, I didn't preach any such thing. Said, God did that. Oh, yes, you did, said the son. He said, you said that Jesus was sitting on the right hand of God. He'd have to do all he does with his left hand. Now, on the right hand of God the Father this morning, there is our David, the root and offspring of David, the seed of David, the son of David, the one who someday shall reign on the throne of David. And you and I should say to him, dear Lord, take my robe. That means my hope for fame. Take my garments. That means any honor I may ever have. Take my sword. That means I'll not defend myself. That's up to you. Take my bow, my most prized possessions, they belong to you. Take my girdle, take it all. I cannot to save my life understand why, if Jonathan would give everything to King David, why God's people in 1970 wouldn't say, dear Lord, take my robe, take my garments, take my sword, take my bow, take my girdle, take it all. That's what God wants. I am sick about something. I am weary about something. I cannot understand to save my life how a bunch of bearded monsters with long shaggy hair and with dirty beards and with dirty filthy toes with dirt caked between the toes and sandals on their feet and with a filthy, dirty garments on will yield themselves more to communism and to Rat Brown and to Carmichael's and to kind of socialism and the destruction and revolution. And those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ ought to give to him who loved us and died for us and rose for us and gives us all that we have that's decent and good. God will not be pleased, my dear friend, until you give him everything you have. Your robe, your garments, your sword, your bow, your girdle. God wants it all. Now let's go back and look at those. In the first place, Jonathan said, David, take my robe. Take my robe. On your heart today, in your heart, there's a throne. Somebody rules that throne. Either you rule it, or Jesus Christ rules it. This morning you ought to say, if you've not said before, dear God, take my robe. You rule. I've ruled long enough. I've decided where I go. I've decided what I wanted. I've decided what I wanted to do. Long enough. Now, you rule on the throne. Take my robe. There came into my office last night a fine young man, teenage boy in our church, and a clean-cut, fine fellow. I have no greater joy than these teenagers. You folks who are visiting don't understand this. But I have no greater joy than these teenagers. When one comes in my office and we try to teach them how to dress decently. And if they have miniskirts on this morning, it's not because we hadn't skinned the fire out of them, I'll tell you for sure. I detest with a passion. I hate with a passion. I detest, I abhor, I cannot stand a girl running around with three-fourths of her legs showing. I think it's abominable, a disgrace in the sight of God Almighty and decent people. I just want to tell you, if our girls run around with miniskirts on, it's not because I like the things. And I'm talking about ladies, too, by the way. I have given serious thought to buying me some material and a thread, a needle and thread. and just standing back at the door as folks walk out or walk in and doing a little sewing on the bottom of your skirts as you walk out. But you folks who come to First Baptist know I love the young people. And you know, boy, I skin them. God bless them. That's why they're sitting so quiet this morning. They don't want their names called in the service. But I skin them. I'm like the Pentecostal preacher that said, I heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils. I do. I heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils for our young folks. But I have no greater joy than one of our young men to walk in my office, dressed properly, decently, and to walk and look me in the eye and reach you out and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I'm glad to see you. And talk to me man to man, like a young boy ought to, these slouchy, hip kind of fellas with the bell-bottom trousers and I never can think of that kind of stuff, that the turtleneck sweaters and all that. Turtleneck sweaters are okay for a hayride, but not for church, as far as I'm concerned. So I'd just leave a few of my little pet convictions with you while you're here this morning. Funny thing, I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, this young man walked in my office yesterday, fine young man. He said, Brother Hiles, he's now graduated from high school last year. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I've sought something in my heart all these years. He said, as a teenager, he said, years ago, I came to this church when I was a little boy. I never got away from it. He said, Mother and Dad didn't want me to come here. They don't like you. Oh, that broke my heart and surprised me. I just didn't think anybody didn't like me. So he said, Mother and Dad don't like you. But he said, I came one time years ago. I never got away from it. He said, there was something there I felt. And he said, I tried to go to another church closer to home, but he said it was dead, and I didn't feel God there. And he said, all the months passed, and I couldn't get my mind off First Baptist. He said, I felt God there. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to say. I felt God there. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, 3 months ago, I came back after all these months and years. I came back. One of the boys invited me, and I came. And he said, I got saved, and I felt God in my heart. And he said, now for 3 months, I've been so happy. He said, Mother and Dad think you're a fanatic. They think you're too strict. And you see, I don't believe in Coca-Colas or Dr. Peppers or 7-Ups or spitting on the sidewalk on Sunday or talking over 3 minutes on the telephone at a time. And one of our ladies said one time, said, Brother Hiles, are you against it? And I said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm against it. And he said, Mother and Dad think you're too strict. And then he said, looked at me and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I think God wants me to be a preacher. I think God wants me to be a preacher. And he said, Mother and Dad think I ought to, they think it's okay to be a preacher, but they said, don't be like Hiles. They said, okay, be a minister, but visit around other churches. They're hoping that I could forget about me and find somebody else to emulate, you know. And then the young fellow, he said, my folks just get mad. And I said, well, you be the kind of preacher God wants you to be. He said, well, of course, I'm going to go to Tennessee Temple College next year and prepare myself for the ministry. He's been saved 3 months. Just been saved 3 months. And he walked out. I thought, he said, Dad and Mother won't be very proud of me. I thought about that day when on the corner of Ackard Street and Commerce in Dallas, Texas, I told my drunkard dad I was going to be a preacher. And I wanted him to be proud of me. And he cursed and swore and said, have you got to be a preacher? And I said, Dad, I've got to be a preacher. And Dad said, okay, if you've got to be one of those money-grabbing preachers, be a good one. And I walked away. I wanted to be honored by my father. Oh, let me say, dear friend, there must come a time in every person's life where he says, dear Lord, take my robe. Take my robe. I'll not rule anymore. I'll not be king anymore. I'll let you be king of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. Only to be what you want me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Ready to do what his word commands, just to be clay in the potter's hands. Only to do what he wants me to be every moment of every day. The robe. How about your robe this morning? Who has it? Take it with Jonathan and say, your honor, King David, take my robe. But there's something else. He said, take my garments. Take my garments. What does that mean? My honor? My honor? Take my honor. Take my medals. Take my wings. Take my good conduct medal. take my Medal of Honor. Take my Bronze Star. Take my General's Stars. Take it, King David. God has knitted my soul to yours. Take it. And every Christian ought to say this morning, dear God, not only take my robe, but take my garments. Take my honor. I was thinking last night, I just had a little praise meeting last night, as I paused to think, over 1,000 preachers coming, getting ready to come then from all over America. And fellows, my mind wandered back to a dark day in my life about 14 years ago. I thought I was taking the stand that was right. And some denominational leaders told me that if I didn't do certain things and quit running with a certain crowd, that they'd blacklist me and I wouldn't preach in any more denominational meetings. And they said if I didn't support the schools that were I thought were liberal, where they're having dances in the schools, and let me tell you, preacher, and you'll get this week, there won't be one thin dime, $1 come from this billfold or one dime come from this pocket to support any school that allows dancing on the campus or alcoholic beverages or teaches anything other than this Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God and Jesus is the Son of God. Not one penny goes off our budget back there. Not one penny. Anybody does not believe and teach the inspiration of the blessed Word of God. So I gave God my garments. And I went home that night and I said, I guess it's all over. And I got beside my bed and I said, dear God, I'll preach at rescue missions. And I tried to figure out what I could do to make a living because I'd taken my stand. Every preacher that had me scheduled to speak at his church canceled me out in 24 hours. Every one. And I tried to figure, well, I guess I could sell clothes. I did that in college at J.C. Penney Company. I guess I could lay oak floor. I did that in college a little bit, 18 months. I could lay oak floor, do carpenter work. And I gave God my garments. And last night, as I paused to think, over 1,000 preachers coming from the North, Delaware, Massachusetts, California, Florida, Arizona, and all around the world, they're coming here at First Baptist Church to learn what God has done here. I said, praise the Lord. I gave him my garments, and he gave me one of his to take its place. Oh, give him your honor this morning. Let him have your robe. Let him have your garment. But there's something else. Let him have your sword. Let him have your sword. Jonathan had a sword. David had none. Only one other in all Israel that belonged to King Saul. Jonathan said, here's my self-defense. Give Jesus your self-defense this morning. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I used to fret myself to death because folks criticized me. I still be honest with you. I don't know why folks don't like me. I like me real well. And I don't know why folks don't like me. We have 4 or 5 members that like me too. But I used to wear myself to death. I can recall with a theory, somebody would criticize me and get back to me that so-and-so had said something. I'd get in my car and go to so-and-so's house, and I'd say, Mrs. So-and-so, that isn't true. I called her a so-and-so, you know. I said, that isn't true. Now look, that's not right. Why, down in Texas one time, they got rumor out that I had stole $1,000 from the church budget and bought a carpet for the parsonage. And really, it was only $500. And they had said $1,000, I used to spend my time going from house to house, and that's not true. Now look, that's not. And one day I just said, Lord, here's my sword. You defend me. I never do it anymore. I never do it. Yesterday, for example, I was just thinking last night. Yesterday, this is a typical day. I got a letter. Fellow said, yeah. I don't know how he said it. But anyhow, he had YEAH there. And this is the way I think he meant it. I'll tell you what he said. He said, yeah. He said, you say you got conviction. And you talk about being a Baptist. And yet you go down to the Church of God Convention, the non-Pentecostal group, Anderson Indiana group, and you preach at Rolla, Missouri, where I was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and preach the Church of God Convention. He says, you're a compromiser.
And I'd have been called that. I mean, too straight. One fellow says I'm a compromiser. The other fellow says I'm too narrow-minded. And that's one thing. And oh, he let me have it yesterday. He said, you're not a good Baptist. And my Bible says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputation. But anyway, he ate me out. And then this young man said, my parents think you're terrible. And then I got a call, and a person said, you know, you're not very popular at Moody Bible Institute. Oh. I cried 10 seconds about that. And that was yesterday. And I went to a shopping center to take some cleaning yesterday. And walking down the shopping center, I saw a person that I knew. And I said, hi, how are you? And they turned away like that, another way. And one person said to me, he said, somebody said, you're a sheep stealer. All in one day. That's just a typical day. Yesterday was an easier day than usual. That's fine. Moody Institute students don't like me. I'm very popular at Moody. Won't speak to me in the shopping center. I'm a colonizer because I go speak to the Church of God, folks. I'm too narrow-minded, and don't be like Hiles when you become a preacher. But years ago, I decided on my knees to quit running things down like that. God takes care of my defense. I gave him my sword. I gave God my sword. Never fight back. Somebody who hates you, just give God your sword. Somebody slapped you, just give God your sword. Don't fight back. And so Jonathan said, David, here's my robe, my honor. My garments, my garments, my honor. My sword, my self-defense. And then he said, David, I want to give you something else. I want to give you my bow, my possessions, all I have belongs to you. Somebody said not long ago, said, do you know Hiles was worth $1 million? And I said, no, I didn't know that. My salary is $8,000 a year, plus a place to live. $8,000 a year. My book, Blue Denim and Lace, could have made me $25,000 last year if I'd taken the profits on that book alone last year. My Uncle Harvey took me in his office when I was 23 years of age and said, if you'll go to a certain seminary and get a doctor's degree, I'll give you $250,000 of my business. I said, I'm sorry. Now, I'm simply saying, until you come today in your life where you say, dear Lord, take my most prized possessions. Take my money. Take my life. Take my talent. Take my future. Take my youth. Take all I have. That's what David said, or Jonathan said to David. And then he said, take my girdle. Take it all. Take everything. We have folks in our church who've given all. How about you? A lot of you won't even give a tithe. You don't even give God 10% of your income. You don't give God Sunday night. You don't give God Wednesday night. You don't give God money. You don't give God special offerings. You don't give God your talent. Oh, you ought to say this morning, dear son of David, thou the root and offspring of David, thou the seed of David, thou who someday will sit on the throne of David, if Jonathan could take off his robe, his garments, his sword, his bow, and his girdle, and give to David, how much more should I give to Jesus Christ? And may I say this in closing? Oh, my precious friend, he'll give you so much more back than you gave to him. May I say, I told you 2 years ago a little story. I didn't intend to tell it. I think I will. Sitting in India one day, and I'm not going to length about the story. Sitting in India one day, beside the road, was a poor peasant with nothing in his hands but a bowl of rice. That's all he had in the world. And as he looked at his bowl of rice, he cursed the day he died, grumbling and mumbling because he had nothing but a bowl of rice. He looked up and he saw a caravan coming down the road, and the Raja was at the top of that caravan in the chariot, and the old Indian cursed the Raja. He has so much. All I have is a bowl of rice. Look at that caravan. Look at my bowl of rice. He cursed the day he was born as he looked at his bowl of rice. And as he looked and cursed the Raja who had so much. As the caravan got closer, the Indian looked up and he said to himself, oh, I wish the Raja would stop and give me a gift. I wish the Raja would stop and give me a gift. As he got closer, it seemed like he was going to go by. And the Indian looked at his bowl of rice and cursed and swore and cursed the Raja and cursed the day he was born as he mumbled in his beard. Suddenly the caravan did stop. And the Raja got off of the caravan, off of the chariot, and came over to where the poor peasant was, just with a bowl of rice as a sum total of all his possessions and worldly goods. And the Raja looked and he said, "Give me of thy rice. Give me of thy rice." And the peasant cursed and swore under his breath and mumbled hatred in his beard as he thought, "Look what he has. Look what he has. He has it all. Wealth, riches, honor, fame. All I've got's a bowl of rice, and he wants my rice." The Raja said, "Give me of thy rice." The old peasant reached in and took one grain of rice out of his bowl and handed that grain of rice to the Raja. And the Raja said, "Give me of thy rice." "You want more of my rice? It's all I have. All I have. Look what you have." And the Raja said, "Give me of thy rice." And the old man reached in and got one more grain of rice and put it in the Raja's hand. And the Raja turned and walked off. And the man cursed and swore and mumbled in his beard as he looked and realized the Raja had taken from him when the Raja already had so much. And as the Raja got in his chariot and the caravan proceeded, the old man began to feel his rice and cursed the day he was born. All of a sudden he felt in the bottom something hard. It was a piece of gold the size of a grain of rice. He reached in again. He felt again. He found a second one. He reached again. He could only find two. Two pieces of gold the size of grains of rice. He looked up to heaven and he said, "The Raja was here, and I only gave him two grains of gold, or two grains of rice." And they screamed and cried, "Only two grains of rice for the Raja. Only two grains of rice for the Raja. Only two grains of rice for the Raja." And then he screamed, "I wish I'd given it all. I wish I'd given it all. Oh, one day we'll stand before God, and the only thing that'll be gold and eternal is that which we've given to God. Take off your robe this morning and say, 'Here it is. Give it to God.' Take off your garments." And I'm not going to do a striptease up here. And just get back in this thing. Take off your robe and say, 'Take it.' Take off your garments and say, 'Lord, take these too. Take out your sword and say, 'Take it.' Take out your bow and say, 'Take it.' Take off your girdle and say, 'Dear God, take it all.' And one day you'll stand before Him and you'll be glad you gave everything to God." I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. There are people this morning holding on to your rice, holding on to your bowl, holding on to your sword, holding on to your garments, holding on to your robe, holding on to your fame, holding on to your money, holding on to your honor, holding on to your sword, your self-defense, holding on to possessions, holding on to your girdle. Give it all. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your burdens will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the invitation time. We pray Thy hand of blessing to rest upon Thy people. May we give everything to God this morning. Everything. Our robe, our honor, our garments, our sword, our bow, our girdle, everything to God, to Him who laid aside His robes of righteousness, to Him who laid aside the honor of heaven, to Him who laid aside the sword and told Peter to put it back up, to Him who laid aside all heaven's riches, to Him who gave His all, may we give our all. Speak to the hearts of Thy people and those that know Thee not. Now our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, I wonder how many are here who would say, Brother Hyles, I know I'm saved. That's all settled. I know that. But I've not given Jesus my all. I've not given Jesus my all. Wouldn't you love to say this morning, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I wonder how many would say, I know I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I've not given my all to Christ. This morning I want to give Him my robe, my garments, my sword, my bow, and my girdle. Would you raise your hand all over the house, please, all over the building? God bless you. Keep your hands up. Who else will join us? This morning, my honor. My honor, my throne, all of it. Thank you. You can drop your hands. Now this morning, how many would say, Brother Hyles, I'm not a Christian, or I don't know that I am. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I do not know that I'm saved, but I wish I did know it. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved and know it. I want to know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. But I don't know that I'm saved. Brother Hyles, pray for me that I may know. First, on the lower floor, how many folks would raise your hand on the lower floor? And with the lifting of your hand, you'll be saying, I don't know that I'm saved. I do not know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please, on the lower floor? Way up high, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. God bless you back here on my left. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Way high, would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. Are there others, please? On the lower floor. You'd say, yes, God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, Brother Hyles, I'd like to be saved and know it. Lift your hand way high. Would you, please? I'll pray for you. The balcony on my left, on the east balcony, you'd say, pray for me. I'd like to be saved and know it. Raise your hand, please. The east balcony, way high. Would you raise it, man? I'll pray for you. May I see your hand? God bless you, sir. I see you. Others in the east balcony, pray for me. In the center balcony, you'd say, pray for me that I might be a Christian and know it. Would you raise your hand, please? The center balcony, way high, would you raise your hand? The balcony on my right, you'd say, yes, God bless you, sir. I see you. Are there others in the balcony on my right? God bless you. God bless you. Someone else, the south balcony, you'd say, pray for me. I'd like to be saved and know it. Pray for me. Raise your hand, please. May I see your hand? God bless you. Now back to the lower floor right quickly. You'd say, include me in the prayer. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? On the lower floor. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Oh, He loves you today. He loves you. Who else would say, pray for me? On the lower floor. I'd like to be saved and know it. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand, please. Yes, God bless you, little lady. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. Pray for me. You see, dear friend, Jesus gave His robe for you. He was King. He laid aside His robes of royalty. He gave His garments for you. He laid aside His honor and became like unto sinful flesh and became sin for you. He gave you His sword. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He didn't. He gave you His sword. He gave you His bow. He gave you all the riches of heaven. He who was rich became poor. And He gave you His girdle. He gave it all. He gave it all. Wouldn't you like to receive that kind of a Savior today?